You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
We can't have Alexis on too many internet platforms.
This is a lot of Alexis, which is also what my lady says when I step out the shower.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Or what my cardiologist says when I step out the shower.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis, NBC Premier League Fan Fest co-host Guerreros.
Bro, yeah. Did we get matching tattoos? Of course.
Uh-huh.
Had to commemorate the weekend.
It's right across my butt cheeks, bro. Right. Let me tell you, it is a long name. I should have went with the hashtag.
And they're like, well, I don't think we have enough ink.
That's a whole lot. We could get, I guess, the O. Is there an O? Mornings. The O in mornings. Won't make it your butthole.
Okay. Gross.
I got a spread cheek for you to be able to read it.
Justin Freeber said Complex was like, there's too much Nork on the internet. We need to stop this.
Let's go.
But no, it was a lovely show. It was had its fanfare, had a lot of new people on Twitch that were just casually stumbling upon two dudes talking about footy. So that was pretty fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And also, you know, anything that helps grow the profile of Los Cooligans, I will be more than happy to do that. Also, shouts to I'm wearing a parasite. Shouts to the Parisian Londoners. Dope podcast I did. The homie Stu. He just released a clip of me asking Ginola.
Yeah,
what it takes for the Parisian league instead of the French league, like an absolute idiot.
I played with Ginola on FIFA Ultimate Team with his icon card,
and isn't it crazy?
And this dude is just like, "Yo, fix your French league, bro."
Yeah. Yo, what's wrong with, why is your league trash, bro? Meanwhile, you're like, "Girl," or boot.
That's what they say,
bro. We always score in butt, bro. what you call it?
The Parisian league is butt, bro.
Yo, damn, this shit buns, bro. Yeah, I know y'all score buds, but why y'all buns though? I'll leave that. I'll hang up and listen to your answer, Ginola. He's like, what's wrong with this guy? First time, long time, Ginola.
Bro, that's the thing with us. Whenever we are interacting with absolute legends of the game, we treat them like we're in a comedy club green room, bro. Right? You're getting roasted, bro, dog.
You catching some strays, whether you like it or not. It's like you in front of us in line at the bodega. That's the quality of conversation you get from
we
us,
don't
bro.
Care you could be
oh did you accomplish a lot in your life? Wow, well I've accomplished nothing.
Oh
bro.
Johan Cruyff, you have resurrected and you are now joining us for a conversation. You're gonna get roasted, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
Talk to me about that corruption scandal, bro. How much guap you really make? So someone, Nick PFC man, said the Parisian. whatchamacallit. So, but the way Stu, who's from Paris, the way he said it, he's like, yes, we have Alexis from Les Cooligans.
Oh, beautiful.
And I was just like, is that how it's supposed to be said, bro?
Bro, well, I need to meet the, like, you know, French version of us.
Oh,
that's just like Les Cooligans.
Yeah. It is Christian and Le Baguette.
That's a great title for a show.
That's the dopest,
Christian
bro.
And Le Baguette.
Wouldn't you be the baguette because you're tall and thin?
Guess I hope so.
Damn.
Okay.
I'm the Cuigamon.
Justin Freeber said the Parisian league acting real mid right about now.
It really is. Yo, but shouts to all the Americans and Canadians just popping out there
in London.
In Paris or in France, bro.
All right. Okay, shout out to them.
We got Florian Balogun, who should be
Oh, okay. You mean players?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Just random Americans.
You just met the folks that go out visiting.
Shouts to all my North Americans living in France.
Yo, if you can get a photo in front of the Eiffel Tower, that'd be mad dope.
Bro. Yo, send us a picture of your passport if you out there doing well in France.
I love this. Nick Red said, Alexis and Le Soylent.
Le Soylent. Let's go.
That's a duo we need, bro. okay. The Shay... Shah Arcia said, after a long day, I listen to the Cooligans podcast, eventually fall into a peaceful slumber and waking up in amazement that I haven't had a strange dream yet, considering Alexis's ratchetness.
There we go, yo.
Love this, bro.
Yo, it's gonna be offensive. Be ready for it.
Okay. There it is. That's right. That's the on-brand Cooligans humor that you know and love.
This is why you come here, bro.
So shout out to everybody joining us. We have to, where to begin today? And all things, this is Prem Show and all things, maybe Premier League in Europe. We should start with, Steven Gerrard? Or should we start with?
Let's talk about Ronaldo.
We should start with
Ronaldo. That happened Wednesday. Yeah, right? So we're a little late. We're just like we were this morning. We're a little late. But the part that surprised me, okay, he walks out, 3 minutes left in the game. He doesn't want to play.
This is in a win against, who'd they play? I forgot.
Was it not Tottenham? For some reason, I'm picturing it.
Who'd they play? I'm following.
So I'm trying to remember now. They're playing Sheriff. That's not what I wanted to talk about. Let's go matches. What is it? Ammonia was their last win. Newcastle. Wait, what? I think it was Tottenham.
It was Tottenham. The Wednesday match against Tottenham.
Mm-hmm. So there's 3 minutes left in the game. Cristiano Ronaldo did not start. He's on a bench. Ten Hag is like, yo.
Looking tight. He's homeboy. Right? He's mad all the time.
You're looking like he didn't want to be at this party.
I think even if he sits at like the dinner table, he's like, yo, I'm mad. I should be cooking.
Right. Why wasn't I called for the appetizers? And they're like, dude, you're here. So he's sitting there and the coach was like, yo, we need you to get in. He's like, all right, I'm going to get up and warm up. And then walks out.
Peace, yo.
Walks out the joint.
My man did the Irish exit.
Bro, if you were at a party with your girl, okay, and you've been talking to people, you haven't had a chance to dance with her, right? DJ goes, hey, this is the last song. It's for all my lovers out there.
Nice slow one. You know?
You know? And then it plays Put It in My Mouth.
Alexis is going to parties with it's an 80s DJ. Yo,
oh, y'all don't go to Grown and Sexy Night? No. So he's like, yo, this goes out to all my lovers. You're like, oh, shh. My girl.
Oh, right? I remember her. Oh, damn.
Oh, we drove together. So, yo, you go and ask her for a dance. She's like, all right, I'm going to just go to the bathroom. And then she don't come back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you got a problem at home, bro.
I'm pretty sure at the very least she's upset. Yeah.
I'm good authority. You can specifically
it's
say.
Just, I just, look, I know how to read women's minds.
Yo.
I just have a thing. I'm a woman whisperer. I have a sense that. I
can read
up.
Body language. And one of the biggest tells in body language is when they've taken their body and left the room you're in. That's a big, bro, big body language.
Dude, I'm fluent in that language.
Bro, that's when I go, uh-oh. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, he did. He bounced.
He bounced. He walked away.
He went back to, like, the changing room.
Uh-huh.
And then
he got all his shit together.
He changed quite quickly. He wasn't even there while the team was celebrating the victory.
He left before the team got there.
They were like,
and there's no bigger celebration than beating Tottenham. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to wait for that.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. We need a trophy. We need a parade.
I know I was celebrating. Damn, I'm more of a Manchester United player than Cristiano Ronaldo. They got some wild Cristiano Ronaldo, Joe Whitlock. The biggest thing for me is you don't, as a player, and I know other players have had this situation, you don't say, no, I'm not going in. I don't care how much of a legend you are. If you care about the badge over your heart more than the name on the back, you go into the game.
You got paid quite a bit. A significant
amount of money.
To go in a game, they call you into work, on a hefty salary. Yeah, just play. I mean, I don't see the
He was making it about himself.
100%.
There's classier ways to do this. You start warming up, and then you grab your hammy, and you hit the ground.
Right, right.
I can't go in. Turns out it was nothing, though.
Right, right. We're all good. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, I think it hurts because you didn't start me. I think that's why. I been playing for 87 minutes already, I think I'd be good.
Exactly.
I think it would have been warmed up.
The doc. I got a doctor's note right here. He brings it onto the pitch with him.
He shows it to the official. The guy's like, get this thing out of here, bro.
So the weird part about this, obviously,
Dr. Haywood, you blow me. That's not even a real.
The fact that, to make this decision is pretty insane, right? Because we're not, it doesn't matter what degree of popularity or what you've done in the past.
Right.
There's nothing to that where people can sort of support this kind of behavior.
And let's get it out here right now. We are going to decide right now. Bringing in a player of his ilk, I'm even willing to give you that. Of 37 years old, a lot of people's GOAT, is bringing him in at this age with 3 minutes left to go in a 2-0 win. Is that disrespectful? Just that alone.
No. No.
I completely agree.
If you're a professional footballer and they even saying like, hey, we want to put you on the pitch, you should be... What a miracle.
It's a game. You're getting paid to play a game.
What a gift that somebody even wants to play you at all, at any level. It could be a U6 game.
Bro.
If the coach is like, yo, you're good enough to, we need your contribution for this game.
Yeah.
Be grateful. I mean, I understand the degree of like he wants to be playing more, but he even understands the outcomes that come with him being on the pitch. Team is usually he's likely to score, but the team is likely to lose.
Can I ask you a question? Who's your favorite comedian working right now? Who do you think is like your GOAT right now?
Right now, outside of Christian Polanco.
Right. You got to start with the top of the list.
I mean, look, who's the GOAT right now?
No, who's your favorite? Who's
my
like the
favorite?
I want to go see them do an hour.
I just saw Sheng Wang special, and it was mind-blowing. It was hilarious.
He looks like a completely different person, by the way.
He's Yoko Ono right now. Sheng Wang was a dear friend. He used to do my show all the time.
Great, great guy.
A great...
Great friend.
And I'm so happy he got his Netflix
special. But I
knew
when he had short hair, and he wasn't a DJ, apparently, on cruise boats. So Sheng Wang.
Yeah.
Me and you are headlining a show. Shane Wang pops in the green room, says, hey, fellas, happen to be in town. I just want to hang out. I look at you and I go, yo, we should toss him a little time at Shane Wang.
Right, right, right. Of course.
Right? We don't have a lot of time on the show. So we say, yo, Shane, you want to go up for 5, maybe 10 up top? What do you think Shane's going to say?
He'll say, yeah. Especially him in particular. Yeah.
What comedian in the world would be like, no, unless they're like drunk or high, not that he is. Unless you have to be like on some substance to be like, oh, I'm not good to go up right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't get up and smack a bottle off the table and be like, don't you dare disrespect me like that.
Cut all the microphone cords.
Yeah. He's ripping lights off the ceiling. Shang, get down from there, bro. He's not walking out of there disrespected.
Right, right. And that's, it seems like.
Pick someone with even more, like, sort of a name attached to them, because Shang is big name, but he's up and coming. Someone who only Tom Segura happens to be there. Tom's not saying, no, I'm not getting up.
Right. It's pretty rare that almost any comedian would not appreciate that.
They may be like, I don't want to take your moment.
Yeah, they might say that.
Yeah, but they don't want to be like, oh, this is your show, dude. If I go up there, it might be, I get that. But no one's going to be like, how dare they ask me to do 10?
Right, right, right.
Only, I should be doing a full hour.
There's been weird controversies in comedy with this. Like, remember,
Ben Jaskolnik said CR7 was as mad as Christian's wife after the last
she wasn't mad at
we
all.
Gotta talk about that
we can talk about that she found it funny anyway
where are you sleeping now, couch or
no? I mean like, okay, I've been in the studio for showered in 8 days.
My wife asked if you could get your stuff out of our apartment.
remember the thing with Godfrey and T.I. Remember this, but this was a different case.
I don't remember that, but I know T.I. was trying to be a comic. Godfrey is likes to fashion himself as sort of like the old guard in comedy.
Yeah. I mean, but he's I would say definitely legend in the game. He's been in around it for a long time and very well respected.
Super funny.
Very well respected in comedy. And but this T.I. went up on stage after Godfrey headlined. which is
you don't do that.
That's 100% disrespectful. And they had
headliner is the guy is the top.
If T.I. said, "Yo, can I get some time up top?" That's within like the guy. I mean, like the code. In comedy, you don't go up. You know you don't go up after a headliner. Right. He may have not known that.
If the rap duo of Alexis and Christian are opening a show for T.I., he goes out, smashes, does his biggest hit, walks off stage, says peace, and then we go back up and go, no, it's time for one more. We've disrespected T.I. You know what I mean?
Clearly. And then
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, yeah. This was a big thing. And Godfrey and T.I. had to squash their beef because it was a real thing because Godfrey talked about it on his show. And then T.I. ended up calling in. And look, it didn't. I'm a comic, so I'm not gonna. There's no way I'm siding with T.I. I don't really understand what he was sort of arguing for, because it's like if it was like
he's arguing that he's T.I.
Yeah, essentially, he's just like, yeah, I'm just trying to do this, and he sort of implied like Godfrey was trying to keep him from being a comic. I'm like, I mean, look, as a comic, I'm like, bro, you're not a comic. I don't know what to say. I mean, like, unless you're, I've literally done it for a long time and you put in the time.
You certainly ain't a comic enough to
You're a goddamn hip-hop legend, bro. Yeah. Like, that's where we're giving you that respect. Right. So that's kind of like, there is a, in comedy, there might be that, some sort of sense of ethics and stuff like that. And there has to be that in, obviously, in football as well, where this, it shouldn't matter. To me, Ronaldo is completely like tainting his legacy and is embarrassing on top of all the other stuff outside of the game that he's already dealt with.
Yeah, he's already kind of tainted his legacy. But if you're willing to separate his personal life from his career, now he's doing it in his career. By the way, Crimson Pizza said, your girl was so mad she threw all of your bagels in the trash.
Bro, that's
how you know it's over.
Grounds for divorce.
Oh, my God. Luckily, these things will be able to survive a nuclear war. I guess T.I. can have whatever he'd want. Yeah, I mean, it's similar in the case that this is an ego play from Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
This is, well, I can do whatever I want. How dare you disrespect me? People buy tickets to see me. I'm the big name. Blah, 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 blah. I should have been out there from the get-go. I'm not going to go out there for your 3-minute pity parade. Blah, 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 blah.
It's embarrassing, though, for real.
It's embarrassing. What's even more embarrassing are the people who are falling all over themselves to defend him.
His former teammates. Have you seen this stuff? I'm like Roy Keane and Ferdinand and all these, like, people that, Graham Souness, all these people that are like, it doesn't matter. Paul Pogba
looks in the mirror on the way to the game.
Paul Pogba makes one errant pass, and literally it's just like, we don't need this stylish buffoonery all over the
He's dancing everywhere. You know?
But the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo can do this and people are like, he's not being respected at the club. He's a legend. He should be this. He should be that. I'm like, doesn't matter how much of a legend he is. How can you support this kind of behavior? It's just it's insubordination, right?
It's insupportable is what it is. It's the people that are the toughest about, oh, you got to do it for the club and you got to get out there and you got to play and you got to leave 100% on the pitch. Those are the people that are defending this.
It's
Roy Keane, Rio Ferdinand. You made me side with Neville.
Bro.
Ew.
I don't feel good about that.
The guy who says we need to exterminate the Americans from the game, basically. You got me defending him or siding with him.
Yeah. Ew. Milton said the old heads all defend it. It makes no sense. Where's the consistency? That's my frustration. Where's the consistency with
Piers Morgan, of all people, defended this? That should let you know you're wrong.
Bro.
You can't side with Piers Morgan.
So he got benched in the next game.
He was told he was training with the U23s. There's a video of Cristiano Ronaldo when he was at Manchester United. And I guess there was Academy kids. They were doing a video.
Uh-huh.
And Cristiano Ronaldo was standing in front of a bunch of kids. And he's doing like all these crazy super fast step overs.
Yeah.
And he's just like not saying anything. He's just doing step overs. Someone took that video, that clip, and said, Cristiano Ronaldo training on Monday. And just a bunch of kids staring at him. They had me rolling, dude. Dude. I showed D and she's like, get this fucking phone away from me. I'm like, that was funny though.
It's very, look, it's hard to continue to justify it. But like I said, like it just seems like where's the consistency of if you don't like players that are acting bigger than a club, why don't you criticize them when they act bigger than the club?
So respect to Flex, because Crimson Pizza said even Flex was reluctantly like Alexis is right. I said this at the beginning of the season. I said, this is going to turn into a circus.
Yeah.
He's not about to be a bench player. I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know why you're doing this to a new manager. And let's call it what it is. What is it? The last nine matches, Manchester United have what? 6 wins? 2 draws and a loss. That's progress. That's a significant step forward from where they were last season and where people expected them to be come the end of the season. Now all of a sudden you got a manager that seems to be getting people to play well. They seem to be playing better without Ronaldo, and you still want Ronaldo to be involved and to be the namesake and to be the face of the club because he's your GOAT. And look, I got to give credit to Flex, because at the beginning of the season, he said, yo, he's the GOAT. You got to give him the respect. You want to have him on the team. He was the top scoring player last season. This is the type of guy you want. He's good for morale, blah, 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 blah. And I've tried to be like, yo, this ain't going to be good. And now you're seeing it not be good. And even he has been like, all right, this ain't good.
Yeah.
This isn't how it's supposed to be. This isn't good for the club to continuously do this. Now you're pitting fans against each other where, you know, look, there's already been fans kind of against each other. There's ones that wear green and what is it, green and blue?
I don't know. What do you mean wear? Like a different
Manchester
kit?
United fans, you know, they wear the old colors.
Oh, right.
It's like
green and dark green. They look like Norwich.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
You've got those fans. You've got the Glazer out people. You've got the Glazer in people.
Even at the Fan Fest, how many signs did we see? That was like a lot of Glazers out.
Yeah, can also
in Philadelphia, which is also strange.
Can I mention one thing that just made me laugh so hard?
Wow.
This is, to me, I don't care. You support the sport however you want, okay? But if I'm going to correct every English person I walk in front of and say, it's not Martinez, it's Martinez. If I'm going to do that, then y'all got to stop chanting in an English accent. y'all making me look bad now. That stupid dude who said it was supporter, not fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
There was the guy that he came up to me and literally like, he was like, hey, are you,
he was calling us both over, and I was like, I'm not talking.
Yeah. But he kept calling me over. I thought it was something important.
I thought it was going to be like, I lost my wallet or something.
Right. You know, I lost my 93 Camry.
This guy 100% looked like, I can't find the only key I have to my mom's station wagon.
But he called me over and he's like,
it looked like it was going to be super important.
Very important. And he's like, Hey, it's supporters, not fans. And I'm like, I know. What the hell? That's exactly what I said. I'm like, I know. And then a guy next to him was just like, what the hell is he doing? Like, it just made no sense.
It was stupid. It was like, hey, they're watching us. Can we try to be as super English as possible? That said, the Manchester United fans, when the guy wearing the full Liverpool suit got up, he's on TV.
Yeah.
He started chanting.
Super
like,
nice guy.
Super nice guy. He was retiring from wearing a Liverpool suit. It's already embarrassing for him. He's the guy who wears a Liverpool suit.
But he got a very gentle and kind guy.
Just a nice guy.
Said hello to him. Great guy.
Great guy. Sweetheart. They started chanting. I don't know what it was, so I'm paraphrasing. Something like, you dirty scousers. But the dirty scousers.
Yeah. In an English accent.
Bro, what the fuck you talking about? You ain't got no dog in this fight.
You know a scouser? Have you met a scouser?
Have you ever eaten scouse? I need to see a hemorrhoid before I'm willing to accept that you can say that. This is embarrassing.
But we've been there.
Yo.
We've been there.
We black for this. On a toilet paper. What do our neighbors think we're doing here? That I would love to know. I want to interview.
They're going to knock one day. They're just like, what's going on?
They're like, you're on the show. Show us your hemorrhoids.
Sign this release.
You've never seen Charlie again, did you? What you gonna call it? It's just so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a bit much.
I mean, look, if you're all in your own pub or whatever, you know, you want to mimic what you see on the crowd. You want to be a part of the atmosphere. I get it.
It's also the one thing I don't like that we may mimic from English Premier League culture and just English football culture is like hating, like truly hating supporters of another club. Like even a rival club. Even
you mean your neighbor from down the block you've got no problem with? Because he likes a different team that plays overseas?
there's no way we can pick and choose what we want about the culture. And there's even I'm an Everton fan. to for me to build up some sort of resentment or hatred.
You don't even have that strong of a rivalry, though. The Merseyside rivalry, it's like, hey, how you guys doing? You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, a, I guess it's, is it the mired friendliest? In some respect. Yeah.
Like, imagine I was like, no Tottenham fans listening to this show. It'd be stupid.
It'd be very, very silly. So,
I'm not doing any comedy shows with any Tottenham fans.
So yeah, when you're.
Supporters.
When you're mimicking the hatred of another, of a club, it's exactly that. You're mimicking. It's not coming from a genuine place. You don't know a Tottenham supporter that you've had a scrap with, or you've right. been in school and you had a real problem with another Tottenham supporter.
No, it just didn't happen. You ain't afraid to get on the
friendly
bus.
Bants. That's it. That's what we're gonna take, bro.
That's so stupid.
Have a good time with it. Roasting.
What it was like? There's a dirty sky. I can't remember the chant. It was so dumb. I was just like, y'all embarrassing yourself and me, which I think is the most important part. By the way, was it Nick Redd quoted me? He said, show me your hemorrhoid. I need to see a hemorrhoid. Quote, Alexis Guerrero's October 24th, 2022.
Okay. You know, put it on an inspirational quote.
Put a little cat hanging from a tree with that underneath it. I need to see it.
Mike Thomas calls it soccer cosplay, which I agree.
It's very, agree. You know what? That's a great way to put it, Mike Thomas. Great way to put it. Because it's so like, you know, I remember this early on, and I've got some friends that do this, but I would go to the Arsenal bar, you know, or pub. Some of them are pubs. I go to some of them to go watch a couple games. I don't do it as often now because, you know, we have to like live tweet and stuff. And it's early in the morning. But I used to do this, and someone would be like, hey, let me buy you a pint. Cool. It's a pint.
Right.
I'll accept that. And then they're like, cheers, mate. And I'm like, all right. I'm gonna draw the line somewhere, bro. You from Minnesota.
I can get my Bobby hat on.
Oi. I gotta do that.
How much are we leaning into this? Yeah.
You need to not tip on that beer. Let me see you get away with that.
Yo, let me see your NHS card, bro.
Yo, facts. Facts.
Bro.
Bro, I need to see your Oyster card something.
Andrew Johnson said, a random Man United fan from Cincinnati called me a pikey while we were watching Man United versus West Ham. I hope that's not some sort of slur, but.
I'm sorry if I upset somebody.
I'm assuming it's, something they call West Ham fans. Ridiculous overall, ridiculous decision.
Camilo Garcia said a Liverpool fan tried to fight me at a pub because I was wearing a United jersey.
Bro, it's literally absurd.
These are Mikey doesn't sound huggable. Yeah, no, it doesn't. these are the type of like no one else in that person, whoever tried to fight you, no one else in their life likes them. They don't have a healthy relationship at home.
There's no way.
No. These are people that are deranged and have picked a club.
Okay, yeah. They had a mental health condition before they've chosen their Premier League club.
Justin Fabric said, oi, bruv, you fitting it for a bruising? Bro, the level at which I'd laugh at someone. And by the way, I've hung out with Tottenham fans in London.
Yeah.
I'm wearing an Arsenal kit. And you know what it was? Light banter.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to fucking bottle me, bro.
Yeah, it gets a little absurd. Definitely, there's a bit of overcompensating.
Andrew Jansen said it's a racial slur for white gypsies, which I think gypsy is also a slur.
Gypsy?
Yeah, I think you have to say traveler now. We're really down.
I don't know.
You know, if only there was a bunch of American-born Manchester United fans that we could ask about the history of it. And by the way, the Manchester United fans weren't the only ones, but they were the ones who were doing like regional disrespect. And it's like, that region.
They were the loudest, for sure. Yeah.
But they were the only ones that were doing that. Like, you know, the Tottenham fans weren't chanting.
Yeah, I think overall, like when sort of scenarios like that, you just kind of want as much of a, it's a Premier League fan fest, right? It should be a festival of fans for the Premier League, right? We should be having a good time enjoying the fact that we're soccer fans in the United States.
Right.
And we don't really have many other people that we can share this with.
We get to enjoy the game without getting stabbed. And now, isn't that a wonderful thing?
So that's all we want. I don't know why you want.
Yeah. But you must want something different.
So So it is absurd. So look, overall,
Mike Thomas said, "Throw another shrimp on the barbie." I don't think you understand. That doesn't sound very regional in England to me.
So the overall, we got to this place by talking about Ronaldo's decision to just walk out, and it led to a lot of other things, a lot of other parts.
Crimson Pizza, I think, put it the way most Americans should handle it. I watch the Arsenal matches at a local Gunnar bar, and we're all chill, and then a Tottenham guy walks in, and we all booed, but then we all drank our beer and yelled at the TV, not each other. That's how you do it.
That's beautiful.
Light banter.
That's what the game is about, okay? So look, speaking of Manchester United, they did draw their match against Chelsea, which was a pretty big Casemiro's first goal, I believe.
Yeah, first goal with the club. Came at the right time. I almost walked away from this match two or three times.
It was a little bit dull.
Oh my God.
Penalty, and Jorginho scored it. Was the penalty kind of fishy? What happened?
This is one where McTominay wrapped him.
Broja.
Yeah.
Broja. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It looked. Didn't get called against, whatchamacallit? Who did we play? Who did Arsenal play?
Arsenal played Southampton.
Southampton, and we.
Oh, yeah, drew. Against Gabriel Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Where's the consistency, right? Refs?
How dare you disrespect Jesus?
So it is an interesting thing, because even that play, that is not, it doesn't get, I don't know if the refs have been told to call it more.
Well, this season they said we don't want to have like frivolous penalties, right? They want you're allowed to make a judgment call now. It's not just like, hey, if anything gets touched, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
weird way to put it.
Still not touch my hemorrhoids, sir.
Yeah. But continue to show it to me. Is this a penalty, hugging someone and going down? I mean, holding someone and they go down.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's without a doubt a penalty.
Yeah. I don't think there's too much of a complaint from, even though Scott McTominay was complaining quite a bit.
So I think that's a way to keep Ronaldo from walking off the pitches, if you hug him.
just
hold him.
Nice little bear hug.
You know, you ain't going nowhere, bro. I'm Ten Hag.
I got you. I guess all you needed was a hug, right? Yeah. But the fact that, who was it? The fact that Chelsea couldn't hold on to this lead and gave up this goal, I think just led to, I don't know, more questions whether they should have beaten a team like Manchester United.
They're home.
Yeah, yeah, they're home.
Odds are, I mean, look, whenever they play each other, it's basically a draw. It's like, boring.
Was the point better for Manchester United or losing the 2 points worse for Chelsea?
The answer is yes. They're both.
Yeah. Okay.
No, the answer is 100%.
Yeah.
Chelsea needed those points badly. They're in fifth. Manchester United needed those points badly. They're now in sixth. This was the best possible outcome for Arsenal. A better outcome for Arsenal would have been if Arsenal had won their match against Southampton. But I also kind of like the fact that the fan base is already talking about this is kind of like this was a terrible result and it was a draw away. I mean,
yeah,
there came a time not that long ago where a draw away would have been like, all right, mm-hmm. You know, especially a place like St. Mary's, which is not easy to win. So
I think it's mainly given that Manchester City is Manchester City. And you know that they, you know, when it comes to that, the loss to Liverpool was now feels like a fluke, especially after Liverpool lose to Nottingham Forest, which is another result.
Insane.
This is absolutely insane. It isn't like they didn't have a lot of chances. Dean Henderson was unreal. Did you see the video of him flipping off the fans? Somebody gave him a middle finger. He's like, he waved at him to point out, hey, I see that. And then he flipped.
How about one of my own? You know?
Okay. Nice little big old middle finger keeper's glove.
Also, when was the last time you celebrated a keeper wearing a hat, bro?
Dude, I mean, I'm glad he's bringing it back. People are saying he should bring back the Yashin, the newsboy.
Yeah. Bro. Is that what it's called?
The
Yashin?
No, that's the player.
Oh,
Yashin.
I was like,
player.
What the hell?
But he's the player who wore it. Because
it's
old timey, bro.
Bro, it'd be fire.
You got a little paper route, and then you're gonna go, you know, get a clean sheet.
That's one of the greatest players ever, Yashin Bey. Good for you. It's like four people will get that joke.
Exactly.
If it's an impeding action, it should be called. It's a soft penalty, but it's a penalty, says Camilo Garcia. Kirby D said the other thing. I agree with that penalty call. In talking specifically about Manchester United, we already kind of moved past the Ronaldo conversation. Ronaldo leaves in January. Looks like he might be going to Chelsea. This is a rumor.
Right. Well, the last I heard was that in this summer, that Manchester United wanted a fee for Cristiano Ronaldo, and they were willing to let him go, but no Champions League club made an offer for him.
Right. Piers Morgan mentioned that a Saudi Arabian club offered $130 million.
Why is Piers Morgan coming up twice on this show? This is crazy.
Again, the most embarrassing Arsenal fan.
Please welcome Ben Shapiro, everybody.
Oh, God.
Literally, everybody you hate is joining us on the show.
We got to put a sign on the door that says, you might get punched if you walk in here.
So that was the rumor. Now it seems like they're willing to let him go in January for free. Just like, somebody, take him off our hands, because I think he's just too much of a distraction. But do you think he leaves in January?
I do think he leaves, and I do think he goes to another Premier League club, which he wanted to do anyway. Remember, he wanted to go to City.
Yeah.
So the question I have is, just his playing career, has his legacy already been tarnished, or will it finish the job if he goes to another Premier League club?
I think his legacy is, I think it is tarnished. I mean, to me, it's one of those, like, when you do a stand-up set, people usually remember the last joke. That's usually, they leave the show remembering the last joke that you did.
Right.
And they barely, if they had a good time, they usually don't remember almost any of it. That's usually how it works.
Right, like wedding, people just remember the food in the open bar.
Right.
Maybe the DJ.
So... I think how he's closing the curtains and how he's closing the show is what he's going to be remembered by. Yes, he had a lot of great moments in the Premier League, obviously in La Liga and in Champions League and in the Euros and blah, blah, blah. Like he'll still be like a commodity, but from I think his peers, his teammates, former teammates, they're going to remember.
They're ride or die, apparently.
But I think for the most part, the people are going to be like, what the hell was he doing? What is the point of this? We all know people get older, their abilities diminish, and he's not even really that yet, right? He's not like...
He's clearly lost a step or two, but he's not a bad player.
I don't get the emotional sort of outburst I don't get the sense that he's being... mistreated at Manchester United. He's being held accountable for maybe his mistakes or lack of defending, or you know, maybe he's not doing what he's asked of, but he is not on the type of team where he can, yo, just give me the rock and I'll do what I got to do. It's not Manchester United are not that good.
He's Jordan at the Wizards,
right? And he should have some sort of self-awareness to be able to accept that and be like, yo, I'm not who I was.
Right.
But I think he sees like Messi starting every game. Why can't a very childish and ego thing.
Of course it is.
And then some people celebrate it, right? Like the Roy Keane's of the world are like, he's a striker. He's selfish and that's what he wants to do. And he's going to get you goals and all that stuff. But that doesn't mean it is what we should give him what he wants at the detriment of the team.
Yeah, we shouldn't reward that type of activity. Also, at the end of the day, I want a selfish striker who only cares about themselves until it's to the detriment of the club. And if you're doing that, then you got to get off the squad. I said Manchester United were, you know, Arsenal 2 or 3 years ago. They seem to be Arsenal last season. This mimics the Aubameyang situation so closely.
Very much so.
And the conversation that the fan base was having, obviously we're friends with Troops. We were hanging out with him not too long ago. The dude is still defending Aubameyang, bro. Still. The dude's on Chelsea.
They're like, yo, yeah, they're homies. I mean, he's going to look after.
Which I get, you know.
It's like, just accept the reality. Like, even your friends can make poor decisions.
But also have enough respect for your friends to be like, yo, I'm kind of glad you off the squad, man. I would be able to say that. Maybe not many people can, but I'd be able to say that. Also, no matter what I say, people are like, oh, he's just kidding. You know, it's kind of great. I can kind of be as disrespectful as I want. To me, it's like there's still fan base, still part of the fan base is still defending Aubameyang. This is something that's going to tail on for a long time. Yeah, Manchester United.
I love this from Mike Thomas. He says, Ronaldo deft talks to the mirror every morning, telling himself what a handsome and talented man he is.
No, 100%. His daily affirmations. I don't know if you saw, there's like a movie with a bunch of guys are in LeBron James's house.
No.
Do you see this? It's a remake of House Party.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a bunch of cleaning people sneak into LeBron or like get stuck in LeBron James's house or or you know,
yeah,
like squat there and they throw a big party. And the way they realize it's LeBron James' house is the mirror has a hologram of LeBron James going, "Hey, you're the greatest ever, and you're wonderful." Bro, if you think for one moment...
If LeBron has this, there's no way that...
If you think for one moment they didn't get that idea from Cristiano Ronaldo's house, you're dead wrong, bro.
There also has to be a like an elite athlete group chat. You know what I mean? Oh. There's a WhatsApp group that's like LeBron, Messi, Ronaldo.
Wait a minute. Do you think there's a group chat where Messi and Ronaldo are in it at the same time?
There has to be. There has to be.
Who posts more?
Gotta be Ronaldo.
Gotta be Ronaldo. 100%. Memes that aren't even funny. He's just posting.
Messi will just like a post once a month. He'll do one thumbs up and then.
Did you see the video of Messi honking his girl's ass?
I did not see this.
Dude, I gotta send this to you.
Yeah, you gotta send it to me.
Oh, dude.
Why is it interesting?
The hand-eye coordination.
The grace. Ray Hudson's doing the call.
Yeah. Let me tell you, when I saw it, I yelled magisterial.
Well, good for him.
Look at him.
Okay.
Honk,
look.
Honk.
That's his lady.
Booyah.
Little squeeze.
Wow. We're not even. Bro, he went left butt cheek, middle. Most people don't go middle.
I saw
him go middle and then right cheek. He gave three honks and one of them.
I feel bad that this was filmed, right? Because it's a very personal moment, but it is in a public space.
It's a beautiful thing. This is love.
I'm just we don't need to see this necessarily, but because there's somebody, a creepy person filming it. But
not really. This was someone being like, "Yo, there's Messi." Oh, okay. Bro, this is love, bro.
No, I
if you don't see me palmed up with Wifey's ass, there's a problem, bro.
But no, good for him. Good for them.
You want to show it on the stream?
No, I don't want
to
show it.
I figured that's why you didn't ask me to send it to you. Go look at my Twitter. Go to
Mike Thomas called it the hat trick.
Hey, he got all three, bro. Kid's always trying to score. Doesn't matter the angle. You feel me?
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
I do think there has to be some level of communication between these,
David Morales says, give the play-by-play analysis. So they're both sitting kind of leaned up against kind of like a small wall, un muro, if you will. Right. Yeah. And you know, those things where like, you're just kind of sitting, you're just kind of relaxing. So like, you know, both their butt cheeks are just laying on this thing. Right. And he's sitting next to her and he's talking to her, having a regular conversation. And as he's talking, he just gets in there and no reaction from her either. This is just foreplay. Maybe this is their sign of, I want to go home.
He still got it.
Bro.
He still got it.
So he goes, closes butt cheek to him. Honk, honk. Middle. People don't know him. You never see the middle. He went in for the middle. And then I don't know what he honked there. Maybe tickled a little bit. Then you go to the right cheek. Honk, honk. Just to balance. You can't. It's like cutting a cat's whiskers off.
We've seen it before. Messi can play left wing, right wing, or striker.
Bro. Let's just say he focused on zone 14. And that, as we know from statistics. His XB, his expected butt, bro. Through the roof.
SKC Fan TV said, that's my GOAT. That's it. The Argentinian legend can do as he wishes.
So here's what we've seen of Ronaldo and Messi this weekend. Hold on. Ronaldo leaving early. Messi getting it in early.
Joe Willock called it the Palm d'Or. You gotta appreciate it. Well done. Oh my goodness.
wow.
Kirby D said it's just healthy PDA. Yeah, I agree.
It is.
I agree.
It's beautiful. Also, I don't think there's anything to be embarrassed about.
I don't think so either, but the person filming shouldn't be a little bit embarrassed.
I don't think so. Yo, you just, you know, it's like imagine you're just filming your safari and then all of a sudden you see, you know, something majestic. Or maybe you see
that's it.
A Messi gazelle get caressed by a lion. Hey.
You just happen to be filming.
They're in love. It might be a little, you know, more aggressive than what I'm into. Yeah, right. But
this isn't how I foreplay, but get in.
Okay. A couple other things.
Man Johnson said, creative attacking mid-finger.
it sounds like that Game of Thrones character. Okay. The Stephen
Kirby said, most don't know he could play in the back three.
The Steven Gerrard, sacked manager for Aston Villa. He is done. They have who's the new guy?
Did they pick one yet?
Yeah, it's an interim guy. I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The interim. I'm not even thinking about that.
An A.
Pochettino is the dude that's sort of circling this game.
The other name I also heard is Unai Emery.
Oh, my God.
Leaving, which I don't know why he wanted to leave. I mean, I could understand why he would want to leave Villarreal, but he has clearly a lot of success there. Europa League.
Yeah, he's a Europa League king, bro.
Yeah, dude. But so what the decision to let go of Steven Gerrard, because I think for a lot of people, they saw his success at Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, all right, he's gonna figure it out in the Premier League. And last season, they had a pretty good season, but they've really been poor this year. But then they played who they play against? Aston Villa. They just won against Brentford 4-0. So when you fire the manager and then win 4-0 the next game,
bro,
it feels like the manager was the problem.
It started to feel like maybe he was stopping the success,
which
is shocking because at Rangers he was so. They played in such a progressive style, and you know they were venturing forward so aggressively, and it was so much fun to watch. And then you get to Aston Villa, and he was like, he just couldn't put it together.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but last season was decent. I think and I always go to my Aston Villa expert, Luis Miguel Echegaray,
right?
Who wrote
lifelong Villa fan,
who wrote a great thread about why. Why there's just such a difference with the team without Steven Gerrard there. Yeah, I noticed he didn't hit that either. And I figured it didn't matter at this point.
Well, at this point, we got to report.
So, but if you follow Luis Miguel, he just highlights the managerial decisions that the interim manager made to just like bench certain people, to just be like, yo, this is not your position, you shouldn't be playing here, and just play a little bit simpler. Right. And that's what led to more goals. It was almost like Steven Gerrard was trying to play too much of an advanced way for the players that he had.
I mean, this is important. It's like you can't, and this was why I was so frustrated with the lack of understanding with the beginning of the Mikel Arteta era.
Yeah.
Which is you have a system. You can't just be like, all right, everybody take a nap. When you wake up, you now know the system. This isn't, you know, the Matrix. It takes a while for you to get players in that can play in the system you want. So forcing your system upon a squad that isn't built to play it is an easy recipe for failure.
Yeah.
And we're kind of seeing the same thing with Jesse Marsh.
So, the fun thing was my Everton group chat, whenever Steven Gerrard,
anyone who's Liverpool related,
fails in any way, yeah. They're literally, the excitement is just through the roof. So, you know, that's it's always a fun little tidbit when it comes. I've grown to, you know, I'm like in this group chat and I'm like, damn, do I not hate Steven Gerrard enough?
No,
yeah. Am I really an Evertonian?
I got to look within myself.
I got to work and build, you know, this fire from the brimstone.
Sometimes I wonder, am I really blue? You know,
I got to work. I got a lot of work to do. Anyway.
So let's put that on the line with this next question I'm about to ask you. Is Frank Lampard a better manager than Steven Gerrard?
Yeah. Why not?
You think so?
I think he's more appreciated. I think people like him more.
That's how you rate it.
He's a nicer guy.
Yeah. Of course, a great manager. Look how much some of us love him, dude.
Bro, you see how many Instagram followers Frank Lampard has? Bro, he's clearly
the best manager of all time. So Alex Ferguson ain't got no Instagram followers.
No, I think, look, Everton's win, resounding win against Crystal Palace.
Huge. What was the difference?
I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin, it just
having
being
him back.
Fit, being there, I think made a huge difference. Look, Everton is not a tiki-taka type of team. We know that.
There's a lot of tees there, bro.
We got to hoof the ball forward.
Uh-huh.
And Dominic Calvert-Lewin wins almost every aerial ball that he kind of goes for. He's a big dude. But I think having him fit and the goal that he scored, which was the first goal, he defending, he wins the ball back. It will be getting in, gets the ball, gets in great position. And then did you see the goal?
Of course.
He hit it around the defender. Like he just tapped it around the defender, went around them, and then hit it to the far post.
It was absolutely incredible.
It's just like not a goal you're used to Everton scoring.
No, Everton have four players where I'm like, are you sure you're an Everton player? Gordon, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Iwobi, I'm shocked I'm saying that.
Yeah.
And Onana.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's a beast.
There's a waviness where I'm like, oh, y'all have the beginning of something.
Yeah.
Like this could be like the culture which you build around.
And
you
also,
know?
Yo, Seamus Coleman.
Bringing it back.
We got to put some respect on this man's name because
we got to put some Epsom salt in the hot water bath for this man's name.
Because Seamus Coleman had Wilfred Zaha on lock, bro. Zaha couldn't do. He was giving him a lot of ha-has unless Zaha. I tried.
I was letting you have it, and I'm like, he gonna find it.
We'll get
it
there.
It takes me a second every once in a while. Just a try. Bro, get the caddy, said Alexis. If Ehow asked you for a couple of personal finance vids, you saying yay or nay? Not now, you know.
If who asked?
You remember? I did. Used to do those stupid finance videos.
Oh yeah, I remember those
way back in the day, bro.
But if who asked them?
Ehow is the company that I did it for.
Oh, I'm thinking Eddie Howe. That's yeah. What I'm like. What, why yeah, was yeah. it Eddie Howe?
That's his cool early 2000s hip hop name when he played for the Sacramento Kings. Oh yeah, you know C Web. Of course I do. My name's E How.
Let's go.
I'm going on last after the headliner.
Okay, look, we all had to pay the bills somehow, right? I did one of those videos,
and they'll barely pay the bills.
I did one of those videos for something like IT related. So yeah, because I did
for them. Victor or for me.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You connected me with the producer or whatever. Yeah. But I intentionally was like, I'm not putting my real name because I didn't want my like
really
people to find it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not going to say because then people are going to.
Oh, come on.
I went with Ehow, bro.
Yeah. My name's Eddie. How you doing? Also known as Ehow. You know who still gets those? Suba.
Soup, yeah, because she did it. She did it like some stats ones or math ones.
Math ones. Yeah. She's like a crazy mathematician.
Yeah.
And she still to this day will get people who go to her website and ask her for help with math. Right. Like students.
Yeah.
Bro.
All right. Okay. The Kirby D said, you can see the pain in Christian's face when the joke flopped. You can't win them all, man. Hey, you know what? But that's what makes me different than some of these other comics out there. Okay.
That's right.
I shoot my shot.
Also,
sometimes I miss. Okay?
Challenge to the fans. Find Christian's video, bro.
Good luck with that. Okay.
It's got to be a wild Latin name.
Wild. I went as Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Doesn't get wilder.
You went as Bector LeBeau?
Okay. All right. So what we were talking about. Oh, everything. So about Lampard, I think the fact that he is, again, not managing with some sense of ego and saying, like, let me just keep doing what I'm doing, regardless if it's not getting me the right result, which I think is what Steven Gerrard was doing. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is my belief. We're going to figure it out. And it never did. Meanwhile, Lampard is like, all right, this guy's not doing it. Let me try something else. Giving other people opportunities to see what works best. But he got all the new signings, benched all the old players from Doucouré is not, not starting. Right. They transferred Alan away. I think they're willing to make changes, which is, I think, is the sign of a good modern manager nowadays.
And I think the problem with Steven Gerrard is every once in a while, it's a big risk to every once in a while, you'll see a manager sort of take a player and kind of do like almost like a Mourinho, but like not blame them, but think like, oh, okay, this is a bad example for the rest of the club, or this person isn't playing as hard as they should, or isn't training the way that I'm expecting. So you have a tough decision. Do you kind of scold them and separate them from the club, or kind of, chastise them for it? Or do you find a way to put your arm around them? difficult, right? We talked a little bit about Cristiano Ronaldo. Clearly, that's not working. We talked about, Aubameyang. That worked really well. You know, it's risky, but it worked. Steven Gerrard, basically not benching Mings, but treating Mings like he may have been part of the problem.
You're right.
That was the moment where it all fell apart for him.
I agree. I don't know. Look, I don't watch Villa week in and week out. I just see the results week in and week out. Yeah. And it just seemed like clearly something was wrong. It's gotten to the point where, at the very least, they're like, look, the standards need to be a little bit higher. We're not trying to get relegated again. You applaud clubs like that for making that decision, even early on, even though, I didn't get the sense that Villa fans loved him or anything like that. Like, as opposed to the public show of support for Frank Lampard, where Everton have had so many managers, and especially the one before Lampard was a disaster. So I think they're at a point where it's just like, look, he's treating me right now. Look, yeah. This is what I need right now.
I love him.
But I actually wanted to point this out real quick. I saw this on Reddit. This is a list of all. So now it's officially every Premier League club has used all five subs. A lot of teams didn't do this. So you can see now that so Everton and Leicester finally used their fifth sub this weekend, which is, I thought, a very interesting sort of sign. And I wonder what you think it kind of represents. That certain clubs wouldn't even use the fifth substitution. Do you think it's because they don't even trust that fifth player? Or do you think it's poor management on their part? Because you were a big advocate.
Huge
advocate. Of the five subs.
Not as big an advocate of you switching to a spreadsheet.
You
Mitchell. This is nerd chat.
Has nothing to do. Forget the spreadsheet. Focus on what I'm saying.
The fact that Everton looks like they just used their...
And Leicester finally used their first
Everton,
one.
Leicester, West Ham, and Bournemouth have only used the fifth sub once.
Correct.
I think it just goes to show squad depth. If you look at clubs like Brentford has used it the most 9 times. Small ball, right? They go out and they find a bunch of mid-level price players that play above their pay grade, pay above with their cost. So they're going to have more players they have that they're able to use. If you look at a club like Everton, they probably don't have that squad depth. So I don't know if it's Lampard saying, like, no, we don't need it, because there's a bunch of managers there going, there's a bunch of assistant coaches going like, hey, man, come on. He's like, no, this is the 11 we came with, blah, blah, blah. I don't trust number four, number five as much. I could see that. I think the issue is as the fifth sub keeps getting more and more used, and we go a little bit further down in history of it, having a bit more understanding how to take advantage of having a fifth player that can come on, you'll see more and more, you'll see better and better players being brought in, and you'll see more and more academy kids being given those chances to come in.
I think it kind of suggests that there are certain clubs that tactically don't have, it's not even necessarily about depth, because they obviously have the number of players to, everybody has the same number of players on the roster to be able to make a substitution. But it suggests that there are certain managers that have tactics in place that not every player is sort of fit for. So you can't replace five players and still tactically play the same way. That's why the teams that have used it less, to me, that's what sort of implies.
Manchester City is pretty much middle of the ground there.
Manchester City, they've used it 6 times. But
that's median.
But that also kind of suggests...
Arsenal's only used it 3 times. I mean, Arsenal has an issue with squad depth.
Okay.
Still.
I don't know, but I wonder if there's any correlation between the teams that have used it less and their results on the table. Everton... they're like what, in 11th place currently, or 12th. Bournemouth, where are Bournemouth at? Bournemouth are in 13th. So Leeds, Wolverhampton, and Nottingham Forest. Wolves, where am I missing them?
Kirby Wolves. D said, I almost screamed looking at that. I'm using Excel at work right now, and it seems I can never escape data sets.
I think it's an interesting thing to look at, especially given that.
I think at the end of the season, you'll probably have a better opportunity to suggest if this data has any strong correlation.
Sure.
Because if you look at a team like Crystal Palace, they've only used it twice, but they've used three subs a lot. So they make their way into the higher percentages.
Yeah.
So and I don't know, from the looks of this, it doesn't have a strong correlation.
So
with what you're standing on the table.
So I wonder, you know, you were a big advocate of the five subs, but if teams are not using it, do we even need it?
I actually want to say that I think we should take it away so that you never put an Excel spreadsheet on the show ever again.
Bro, we got to get to the bottom of this.
I think it's too early to tell. It's new for a lot of people, even though they used it during the sort of no fan years. I think it's still kind of new, and I think I'm a big proponent of taking advantage everywhere you can. All your throw-ins, if you're in the final third, they should all be long. You should always be putting your defender on the back heel. Every opportunity you have to gain an advantage should absolutely be used. And if the fifth sub is a way for you to do that, then do it. How you can do that, I think we'll see as we go along. But the first coach that really is able to sort of use a fifth sub to some high degree of effectiveness, then absolutely. Personally, I would say your fourth and fifth subs should be super fast and super hard to get off the ball. If you're up, bring those guys in, have them run to the corners with the ball. Go ahead, I dare you to take it from them.
Okay. All right. Well, Alexis should be the manager of Aston
Villa. Camilo Garcia actually has a great point. He said, can you show me how to run macros next?
Happy to.
We don't need you to find the IT video. He just did one for you.
All I'll say, for anybody who is interested in being an Excel expert, learn the VLOOKUP function. That's all I'll say. Learn the VLOOKUP function is what it is. It will get you a salary as some job, some data job or whatever. It's one of the best features in Excel, and it's helpful in almost every sort of practical way, no matter what business you work in. Learn VLOOKUP.
You know what? I'm gonna you deserve that. But I'm gonna let you have your moment. But I'm also say, when I was in college. All right,
look, Felix said VLOOKUP is everything.
And yo, Felix Dalgao never talked to me, bro. He was lurking until you heard VLOOKUP. I used to, when I was managing property, I sold investment property for like 2 years while I was in college. And these guys used to do a profit and loss sheet by paper. And then they would fax it to investors. And I was like, yo, this is so dumb. You guys are wasting so much time. What if that person's not near the facts? They're not getting it. And they're like, oh, you got a faster way of doing it? I'm like, yeah, email, bro, or text. And they were like, oh, how are you going to do that? I'm like, the most important thing is the percentage. If we know we have investors that say, I won't step on anything that doesn't have 5% at least return on investment, we need to do the return on investment and then text those people. And they're like, oh, you're just going to be spending all day on your phone? I'm like, do you think that's better than standing in front of this old machine that other people need to have toner and paper for? And what I did was, to make this a little bit faster, I created a spreadsheet that actually amortized the loan. You can change your I should bring this in and show it on the show if you brought yours. You can actually put your down payment. You can put your second mortgage. You could do everything. Show your full profit and loss. And immediately, as soon as you put those three things in, and then obviously you put your insurance and your cost of water and electricity, boom, immediately populated. And it turned green if it was above 5 or red if it was below. I took that percentage. Sometimes I would email it. Sometimes I would text it. Bro, I was getting people in and out of investment properties left and right.
Wow.
I was, bro, people were like, how are you doing this so fast? And all it took was learning that there is an amortization function in Excel. Did you know that?
No, I have not used it.
You know the difference between a regular loan and an amortized loan?
I do not.
Oh, an amortized loan, interest is calculated every day.
Oh, okay.
So it adjusts.
Look at that. Look. Oh. David Lloyd just said, this is why Levitar signed you guys.
Nick Red said, Alexis Trump properties. Come and get it. Alexis looking at Christian talking about VLOOKUP like the audience looking at TI. I've actually used VLOOKUP a couple of times. I'm a big fan of Excel spreadsheets, but not on a comedic soccer podcast.
David Lloyd said cutting ads for Excel and stuff, Miller Lite, eh?
You know, when I'm hanging out with my friends, Christian.
We're just doing Excel spreadsheets. Okay.
Not a day goes by I don't Google some Excel function. There's so many in there, bro.
Okay.
Say Tyler said Excel tutorials.
Okay. Anything else?
Omar Ramirez said, Alexis, then how'd you end up here?
Bro, a lot of mistakes.
Yo, it's a long story.
Anything else we should make sure we cover before we wrap up? Please.
Jesse Marsh.
Oh, yeah. Jesse
Will
Marsh.
Will he make it to Christmas? Yes or no?
He will, but these losses are—they're looking bad. I look. Tyler Adams didn't play in the last game. I know some people were concerned that, you know, there's injuries, these pre-World Cup injuries. I think this time is a little strange because you can tell. You know, I think to some degree players don't want to get injured before the World Cup,
right?
And managers need them to play, but are they playing with? Are they playing at 100%? Are they really going in for every tackle, every challenge? Is that on the back of their minds? Like, yo, I might miss the World Cup. These, like, everybody's seeing injury after injury to their, you know, to their teammates or a player on another team. Rafael Varane just got injured. They said he might be out 3 weeks, putting a little bit of concern for his World Cup status for France. So this is what I'm sort of holding on to. I think for Leeds and for Jesse Marsh, I think he needs a little bit of time. You know, I think, you know, Patrick Bamford needs to come into his own and not, you know, miss penalties like that.
But do you think, and this is why I think Steven Gerrard was sacked, is because I don't think they've spent the Grealish money yet. You're not going to let Steven Gerrard do that. Especially if you don't trust them.
Okay, sure. I don't know how they spent the money or not, but
what I'm saying is you don't give him another transfer window if you don't trust that he's going to be there anyway.
Right.
Right? Do you think they'll do that for Jesse Marsh? Give him another transfer window, knowing this might not be the answer. I believe he is. I believe he will get it with time.
He's had one transfer window.
Uh-huh.
So I think so. Yeah, I think one more is... You know, I think he deserves one. He kept the team up when, you know, some people did not expect him to, right? They got rid of their Marcelo Bielsa when fans did like him.
Yeah, but he was in a relegation battle fairly late into the season.
Yeah. So I get that. So he's had one transfer window, brought in Brendan Aaronson, brought in Tyler Adams, and the American marketing.
What's
machine.
The other dude? Sinisterra?
Colombian, right? I think he is.
Incredible player.
So it's just I think the concern for Leeds is they're just giving up too many goals. They're having the same problem that they have with Bielsa. They're just giving up too many goals. Yeah. And that is the you know, they should have gotten a point from the game against Fulham. They should have gotten a point against Arsenal. They're just coming up short every single time. It's like, and it isn't that they're not scoring goals. They score goals from time to time, but their defending seems to be atrocious. So
I have a way where I think I can save U.S. soccer and I can save Jesse Marsh's job with one move. Can you guess?
Pulisic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sign Pulisic.
I mean,
changes everything.
I think so.
He's an aggressive, you know, pressing winger, good with the ball, good creatively. In fact, I almost, based on what I've seen from him, I'm almost ventured to guess he's better when he's more instinctual and creative than he is when he's input into a system. And what I like about Leeds is when you get to the final third, it is about more creativity than it is specifically this player is going to do this player is going to do that.
Yeah.
I think he would work out really well on that team. I think it would also kind of give, I think it would give Leeds the, okay, we are going to lean into this whole Major Leeds soccer thing.
Yeah.
We are going to lean into this whole American thing. And I think it actually makes them a much better squad. And for the value that they're going to ask, that Chelsea's going to ask, I don't think it's that much. What are they going to pay? What are they going to ask? 30, 40 million max?
Well, the last report I saw was that Newcastle was going to make an offer. And I think Chelsea wants somewhere around 40 for him, and they can get it. And I think the value of Christian Pulisic as a player is high, but I also think as that American commodity and that marketing
give yourself a nice bump in fans in America if you sign one.
Everybody's aware of it, and I think that's why Todd Boehly doesn't want to get rid of him, because they're like,
yeah, but if your coach isn't playing him, then
Yeah, yeah. Look, he came into the game against Manchester United late in the game, but it seems like no matter what manager he plays under, they all see him as like super sub. And we all know that's not what he wants to be. But I honestly think.
I think
Leeds would be fun and the vibes would be crazy, but I think he's a better fit at Newcastle. I think he would be spectacular at Newcastle.
I also, we didn't even talk about Miguel Almirón.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, 5 goals in 5 games.
Ever since Jack Grealish slandered him?
Bro, Jack Grealish talks shit, and now boom. What is it? Jack Grealish has 5 goals in 37 appearances. Miguel Almirón has it in the last 5.
Well, this is an interesting thing that people are always talking about Jack Grealish and how many goals and assists.
$100 million.
And they're like, the contributions to goals and assists, his goal contributions are not very high.
He plays with Haaland.
But he's also not.
You could close your eyes and send a cross. And if you do that 10 times, Haaland scores on 4 of them.
Weirdly, Jack Grealish he plays on the wing, right? He plays on the left wing. But he plays like a defensive mid. Meaning, he's not that defensive, but he is a.
He's better suited for a different style of football.
He just holds up. The guy doesn't lose the ball. And for a Premier League club to have a player that never loses the ball and always makes the right decision, that's very worthwhile. Is it worth $100 million? I wouldn't say so, but that's what City were willing to pay. And they pay Grealish to not make mistakes, and he does not. That's the best way to put it. He is not a flashy player by any means.
Kirby D said he's overpriced. He's a worse Zaha. Are you talking about Miguel Almirón or Grealish?
No, I'm assuming Grealish.
Do you think Miguel Almirón gets some people looking at him in January? Because it's clear he's good enough to play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He's shown that. I don't know that he's taken a couple years. Yeah, I don't know if he's shown that in the past. But he also had terrible managers in the past.
Right.
You know, Steve Bruce, you're not going to do well under Steve Bruce. You know, what's his name? DeAndre Yedlin talked about when Sam Allardyce first came in, forgot what club he was with, where he saw space in front of him. So he ran the ball up and he kind of found an open player, made a nice through ball. And the guy crosses it and they score. And Sam Allardyce goes, you ever go that far up again, you're off the team. And he was like, but I just did something good. And he was like, your job is to stay back there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like there's some managers that are like, I don't need all this creativity, bro. That's why we bought these other guys.
Yeah.
Get it up here and just not put you in the best position to play. Eddie Howe is clearly getting something out of Miguel Almirón now. Also, it seems like Miguel Almirón has clicked. Is it because he has better players around him? Clearly, he's benefited from having Isak in front of him.
Sure, sure. I think
you can't be a good winger with Chris Wood.
But it seems like, you know, we all saw Almirón play in Atlanta, and we saw the guy was just like energy and pace, and especially like acceleration. That was like the thing that was just unbelievable.
He could keep the ball, and I think you saw it this weekend. He keep the ball in tight spaces.
Yes, yes. And
he's cutting through time.
When he first got to the Premier League.
Cutting through Tottenham.
Anything. As long as Tottenham's being hurt.
I felt like a Newcastle fan, bro. Do you know how much joy I took out of that?
But I think what we're seeing from Almirón is compared to how he was in Atlanta and just playing in MLS, he could outpace most midfielders that he would face,
But there does come a time in your career where you need to be more than just speed.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. I think the his first 2 years at Newcastle, you could see him like be frustrated with he wasn't getting a lot of playing time.
He also went like I think something like 17 games without scoring. Right, remember the release?
Right.
When he finally scored.
By
the way, I did say Isak. I meant to say Isak.
Yeah.
But I started saying Isaac, and then I switched midway. So that's my fault.
So I think you're just seeing somebody like just adjust to the pace of the Premier League, and also like accept his role is going to be different than it was in Atlanta. Right? He's not controlling the game.
I don't know that it's that as much as it is like now. It seems like he's solidified his role. Does that make sense? Like,
but what role is that?
But the point I'm trying to make, yes, it's different than Atlanta. But for so long, his his ability to be in the starting squad felt tentative at best.
Well, I think so. In Atlanta, he was like more of a 10. Yeah, and he distributed the ball, and he was sort of expected to get a couple assists.
He's definitely not that.
And now he is the guy that receives the ball and does something special with it, especially this season, which I think took a lot for him to accept.
I disagree. I think it's that every time he did something, the temperature was taken on whether he deserved to have that spot or not. Now that seems to have gone away. Now that he's confident he is a starter in the first 11, and he understands what's being asked of him, which I completely agree with you is different than what he was doing in Atlanta. But now that he understands, like, all right, I'm going to get picked, I'm doing well, now you're going to see the real player come out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's why you've seen him play well.
I mean, it's tomato, tomato.
Well, it's tomato.
But
he still runs like an ostrich, though. So it's Robin Seguini.
Yeah. The Kaiser roll, Justin Bieber said, maybe ciabatta. You love to see.
What is that in reference to?
I thought it was. Oh, I don't know what it was. I guess it was the way he runs. I don't know what that was a reference to.
I have no idea.
Kirby D said, I'm an Orlando fan and an Arsenal fan, and I find myself rooting for Almiron. Look, I think it's a great story, especially as a representation of just MLS and how much, people just assume, it's a weak league or whatever.
My Arsenal group chat, which is, they've heard of MLS. They're like, yeah, David Beckham's still there, right?
Yeah.
You're like, as an owner, he doesn't play this stuff. You have to make all those. They were like, yo, this Almiron kid is a baller. And I was like, MLS product.
Yeah, dude.
You know, put the little sunglasses, smiley face emoji. I think this shows really well. The other thing that I forgot that we didn't talk about is there's rumors that Weston McKennie may be getting sent to Arsenal with a player swap.
Yeah.
For Sambi Lokonga.
I did hear that too. I don't think it happens.
I think it might happen.
I don't think it happens, and I don't.
I can't think of a midfielder that can replace Partey's ability to stop and attack, but also advance the ball into
and score.
And score.
It's a way bigger threat to score than Partey.
But I'm not as worried about that as I am someone who's like, I can stop. I can stop most of your advancement. But I'm also going to be able to create my own, which Lokonga can't. He's not a progressive enough passer.
Frankly, would it be cool to see Weston McKennie in the Premier League? Yes.
Would it be cool to see Weston McKennie at Arsenal?
Yeah. Yes. But I don't see Juve getting rid of for us. It would be a swap. Have to be a swap and a fair amount of money. I don't see why Juve would get rid of him.
I think Juve has been trying to get him off the books for 2 years now.
For a fair sum of money. I mean, it would have to be. Because he leads to so much success for the team. I mean, like he's not the most important player, but he's very, very important in that midfield. So I don't see it. I don't see it.
By the way, Felix Dalgo said, is he an MLS product though? He's more like a Lanús product. Sure. Lanús could say there's some guy who's, is he a Lanús product or is he, local academy?
The reality is that for a player coming
to be purchased from MLS into the Premier League.
Bro, Premier League fans are going to be like, he has that MLS stink on him. What I mean? That's it. So he is, whether it's homegrown.
Christian Pulisic is considered an MLS product. He never even played in MLS.
The fact that he's not a homegrown Atlanta United player, without a doubt, but he spent a lot of his formative years in MLS. And if he goes from Lanús directly to Premier League, I don't think he's as successful. I don't think he even lasts that long in the Premier League.
I think he goes to Spain. The fact that MLS has tried really hard to replace one of the become a stepping stone to leagues like Premier League. And I think you've gotten that.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's proof that if you play well in MLS, it can translate to playing well in the Premier League. So does Jack Harrison. Tyler Adams, another one.
Nick Red said, is Tyler Adams an MLS product or the Wappingers Falls Rec League product? his Sunday League.
DJ 31 said, embrace us, become a gooner. a gunner. Obviously, he's a gunner. We're gooners. But a nice Cobra said, I'd support Arsenal if Wes went there. Look how simple it is. Arsenal. Do the right thing.
I mean, Weston.
I got to call Danny Carbaccio?
Weston.
My homie.
Go to Everton, bro. Christian Pulisic. Everton could use you.
Why would you want to go to Bleverton, bro? You don't want to go to Bleverton.
Do it.
All right, everybody. We should wrap up. Tomorrow, we're going to be obviously talking about the MLS and the NWSL playoffs, which have been unbelievable this
Full
weekend.
Full on bananas.
Absolutely insane.
Here, I'll give you a preview. Crystal Dunn. That's all you get.
I'll give you a preview. Maxi Morales. Okay.
Beast.
So we're getting the MLS playoffs that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Conference NYCFC against Philadelphia
Union.
We'll
talk about it tomorrow.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. And the Western Conference Austin against LAFC. Bro, it couldn't have worked out any better unless you're a Montreal, Orlando, Cincinnati, Rebel or Rebels
fan.
Or an FC Dallas. Or
really anyone but the teams we mentioned.
But an incredible, incredible weekend. Yeah, I'm really excited. So, maybe you might see us at some of these finals. We'll wrap here. Thank you everybody for joining us on the show. As always, make sure to get that new No Cap recap that is available on Patreon right now. We give
calling it the Fauci Derby.
yeah dude, I was saying that too. It's so
that's
fun.
Hilarious.
We spoke about the all the behind the scenes at the Premier League Fan Fest. We did that on Patreon. Shout out to everybody who left a nice comment after listening.
Such beautiful comments
to listening to the episode. But yeah, if you want to hear how it all happened, how we get the gig, the whole thing, and a lot of really fun stories from that Fan Fest that we didn't have time to talk about on the show. Patreon is where to get it. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. Get at it, and a lot of really fun stuff to look forward to. So we'll see you tomorrow. Give us a follow, subscribe here on YouTube at Soccer Cooligans, and remember to subscribe to the Clips channel. We just got, I think, 55 people subscribed.
I think 57.
Bro, what are you waiting for?
We're building. But don't subscribe if you're not going to watch it, because that actually hurts us. But if you subscribe and you see our clip pop up, click on it. Watch it.
Leave a comment. Do the whole thing.
And thank you once again to all the to Gully Squad. You guys are the best. We're going to be giving you even more content. We might be doing another No Cap recap this week. You never know.
Who knows?
We're going to lace you out, fam.
Let's go. All right, everybody. Peace. Take care.
Love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.